Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com. for a free rate quote, and we're here again. I told you, we're not going anywhere. We will be here every night, 7 to 10 Eastern time, 4 to 7 Pacific, and all of the times in between for Middle America throughout this strange situation for all of us. And beyond that, we will be here, myself and Rob Parker. We're happy to do it. So keep it locked with us for the next 3 hours, foxsportsradio.com. Sirius XM Channel 83, the iHeartRadio app, however you may be listening. It's going to be a special baseball version of the Odd Couple in honor of what should be and would have been opening day. And with that said, let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What's up, man?
What's happening, Mr. Chris Broussard? How are you?
I'm great. I imagine you are crestfallen today.
No doubt about it. Not the best of days, especially as you just mentioned, it would have been opening day. So, yes, I'm going to deliver a message for MLB America as we move along here. But let's first welcome in everybody for the Odd Couple crew. And Chris, real quick, let's send out a birthday shout out, a very special 40th birthday to our sneaker guy, Roland from Palmdale.
Yes.
Roland's
yes.
40th birthday today. So let's he's a great guy, and he takes care of me and Chris, and he's
a great guy, no
exactly
doubt.
And that's
definitely
a big birthday, big family man birthday. Everything
yep great guy. All right, well, we got the Odd Couple crew in with us today, as we do every day. It's DJ Alex Tyshirt, aka Alex the Vegan, on the ones and the twos. And this is a TV theme show Thursday, so he'll be doing this thing in that regard. We got the super producer, Rob G. And who we got on the updates today? Steve DeSager, the always professional and superb Mr. Steve DeSager. So going to be a great show, like we all said. Keep it locked. We got Cecil Fielder at the bottom of the hour. Of course, the World Series champion, three-time MLB All-Star. So it will be great to catch up with him. And Rob, you've been a member now of the Baseball Writers of America Association for 30 years. You are a Hall of Fame voter. You covered baseball both as a beat writer and a columnist closely. And because of that, you're associated with baseball like I'm associated with the NBA. And so, again, I know this is a tough day for you. But you have something you want to share with all of MLB America, as you said.
Absolutely, Chris. This is Rob Parker's open letter to MLB America. I have just one word for you on this day. It's heartbroken. No opening day. I understand the circumstances. I'm not blind. I'm not crazy. And the coronavirus has stopped many things we love and admire and enjoy. But it doesn't soften the blow. Still, it's so cruel, so disappointing. Today is not just any day. Today usually marks the best sports day of the year for me and so many others. If you're old enough to even remember this, the Reds always had the traditional opening day in Cincinnati. It used to be the greatest Monday of the year because Major League Baseball would open with the Reds playing their first game, and then we'd have the NCAA champion crowned that night. This is deep rooted. It's deep down. It's a part of our DNA. It's who we are. And it dates back early. Opening day for me was like my Christmas, my present. Nothing could stop my joy on this day. There was nothing more I wanted to hear than
play ball.
And it's not just me. No way, no how. It's millions of Americans. MLB sells 70 million baseball tickets a year, more than all the other sports combined. So much of my love for baseball started at an early age. And my family knew how much I loved baseball. Even my mom, who was a stickler for school and about getting your work done. But when I was in junior high school, my mom used to write a fake doctor's note for me so that I could leave school early, so that I could get home to watch the Mets on opening day. I had to see the first pitch of the season on TV. I couldn't come home in the third or fourth inning. I had to see it from the beginning. And back then, I was a Mets fan. I wasn't a reporter. I was a fan. Opening day that stands out to me the most dates back to college. 1983, I was a student at Southern Connecticut State University. Me and my three buddies, we hopped in the car. We barely had money for tickets, but we had to see Tom Seaver return to the Mets. We drove from New Haven, Connecticut, and I can remember standing up in our seats in the bleachers and watching Tom Seaver walk from the bullpen and to the mound. What a moment it was! And even as I got into the sports writing business and I wasn't a Mets fan anymore, I was still a baseball fan, still blessed to work in some of the greatest baseball towns in America. In New York, I covered the Mets and the Yankees, and it was awesome to be there, to be on that field where Babe Ruth once played. And John Sterling, the Yankees announcer, would give any big baseball fan goosebumps with his baseball play-by-play calls.
1-2. Swung on and driven to deep left. Toward the line. She is gone! Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
And when I left my hometown of New York to go to Cincinnati, I had a great job covering the Knicks for the Daily News, but I wanted to cover baseball. I went to Cincinnati, one of the all-time great baseball towns. And when I got there on opening day, to see the spectacular that I always heard about. It's a holiday in Cincinnati. People are giving the day off. Some people, there's a parade. People take TVs into work. That's how big baseball is in Cincinnati. Don't forget, the Cincinnati Reds were the first professional team in sports history in this country. Yes, the Cincinnati Redlegs. And I was honored to go to Detroit to work at the Detroit Free Press and then the Detroit News and to cover another charter member of the American League, the Detroit Tigers. And people loved the Tigers and the old Tiger Stadium. There was nothing more amazing than the sound of the crack of a bat at Tiger Stadium and the roar of the crowd. And in Los Angeles, where I am now and work, there's nothing better than the voice of Vince Scully to get the game going.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And as a reporter, you always wanted to get to opening day hours early, 4 hours early, to enjoy BP, take it all in, usher in a new season, see friends from the past, winter gone by, smell the fresh cut grass, hot dogs with spicy brown mustard. You can smell them from the field.
Hot dogs, hot dogs, here.
This has nothing to do with the other sports, but this is tradition. Part of who we are, part of our fabric.
We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque.
Damn you, coronavirus. Today was supposed to be our day. Today was supposed to be opening day, where we would stand and remove our caps all over America to honor our tradition. And we would do it too all over Canada. And in the bottom of the seventh inning, hanging out with your buds or your family or your favorite girl in the seventh inning, you know what we would do. Today is a dark day. There's no other way to look at it. There were no hot dogs. There was no beer. Worst of all, there was no baseball on opening day in America. And this man here before you on Fox Sports Radio, I am just heartbroken.
Well done, Rob Parker. Well done. That was great, man. That was great. I know you are heartbroken. I miss baseball as well. I'm not feeling like you are, I know. But that was well put. You did a great job with it. You mentioned Cincinnati as one of the all-time great baseball towns. And
That you grew up
I
there.
I lived there. Yeah, I was
and
there.
And there was a parade on opening day.
Yep. We went to my best baseball memories are going to Reds games with my father and my brother. And we'd sit through, as I said yesterday, one time we sat through a doubleheader that went, one of the games went in the extra innings, the second game. And we were there when they were the best team in the league. That when they had Pete Rose and Johnny Bench.
The Big Red Machine, one of the
Concepcion,
greatest teams ever.
Tony
right.
Perez, yes, all those guys. And it was a big deal to me when I was in second grade. You know, if I did well in school, my dad took me out to a restaurant. And, of course, the restaurant I requested when I got A's in the second grade was Johnny Bench's home plate. So baseball was my first, football was my first love, or the sport that I loved the most. But baseball was the first sport I played organized, you know, T-ball at 7 years old, and then went on the pitching machine league at eight, and then, you know, real pitchers at nine. Played in a league, remember Gary Thurman?
Yep.
Ended up playing in the majors. He was a few years older, but he played in the same league I did in Indianapolis, and he was smashing home runs all over the place, even as a kid. And I have some great memories from baseball, mostly as a young boy. But this is a tough day for everyone, especially all those hardcore baseball fans out there. So I'm glad you did that, man. That was an excellent job you did. All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. What does Major League Baseball's opening day mean to you? And how are you coping with it today that it's not here? We will continue the conversation with you next. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know we had to open up with this one for Rob Parker. His favorite song, his favorite sitcom, his favorite cruise.
Of course, make me feel a little bit better today.
Yes, yes. On a TV theme show Thursday, the only way to open it up. All right, we got three time. We're coming by from Discover. Just Rob G, what? Read the rundown and tell me what you think. But anyway, let's get to the calls. What's your favorite opening day memory? It's your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox.
All right, Cordell in California, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? I love you guys. You and Chris, you remind me of myself and my buddies when we used to rap on the corner and talk sports and whatever was going on. You guys would fit right in there with us.
Well, thank appreciate you, man. That.
Yeah, and I love this show. I ride home with you guys every day. But let me get to the point. Rob, you got me fired up with this baseball today. I missed the times when I was able to go to these games, and I would try to get the best matchups. I would look for – I grew up in Camden, New Jersey, so Phillies were the team that we would go to see as the home team. And whenever the Reds came to town, whenever the Dodgers came to town, the Giants, the Mets were hot. So we would get to see these players, Pete Rose, Pittsburgh, when Pittsburgh would come to town, with Big Willie Stargell, Dave Parker, all the great players that the Cubs, you know, all these great players, you just wanted to see them. Even if they didn't play on your team, you wanted your team to compete against them.
And
when
you know what?
The Phillies were in the 70s. I graduated high school in 76. So when the Phillies were in the 70s, that's when Mike Schmidt came in. Larry Boa was there. Steve Carlton.
And
Cordell. Nice nucleus.
Yeah, yes. Let me say this. I get it, and you're right. Remember, every game back then, Chris, wasn't on television.
Oh,
so
no,
if you wanted to go see Willie Stargell or some star player, you used to have to go to the ballpark. That might every game wasn't on. Like we get to see everything.
Saturday afternoon,
there was only one game on.
Baseball game. Go Joe Garagiola. I mean, I
and Tony Kubek.
Yes, yep. I used to love watching baseball on a Saturday afternoon.
It was the
and
game
then,
of the week.
You get, you know, yeah, you get every game on now, and maybe there's some oversaturation, but those were great memories. You waited all week to watch that game.
No doubt about it. Let's go to Weed Man Hippie in Miami. Here's one of Ben Mallow's callers. That's correct.
I love you both. I listen to you both every night. Rob, what you just did made me call. You grabbed my heart. I used to go to every Dwight Gooden game.
Yes.
I was there for his 216 strikeout games in a row.
That's baseball.
Big
time. Yep. Hey, you know what touched me today, and I had to get that out there. We appreciate your support. We know you're a Ben Maller guy. Thanks for the support, Weed Man Hippie. How about Mark in Virginia? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you?
How you doing?
Okay, I'm a Cleveland transplant here in the rural area of Virginia. I don't miss the potholes, but other than that, I certainly miss the beauty of opening day. And as best as I can sum it up, it's a real gut punch. But let me say kudos on a very poignant and well-versed production.
Thank you. Well done.
My favorite memories back in circa 67, Indians fan, they only sold out one day of the year in the giant chasm called Cleveland Municipal Stadium. 10 years old, we'd save our quarters up, get on the three buses to get to Cleveland Municipal, and if you recall, 78,000 to 80,000 showed up for opening day. The next day, we're back to 10,000, 9,000.
That's right.
So,
no doubt, Bill.
My real concern is that this is a gut punch, but I'm also a real Brownies fan. I hope it's not a double gut punch when it comes to football season.
Yeah, we hope that it won't last that long. My goodness.
Yeah, we got to wait and see. I remember, Rob, you know, obviously I moved around a lot.
Yep.
Moved to Cleveland toward the end of my junior year of high school, the last quarter of my junior year. And met, you know, you meet new people at school and stuff. And we went, I mean, I had probably only been there a few weeks, and we went to an Indians game. And it was probably, this was 1985. So it was probably 2,000 people there.
Right.
And we actually could go all the way down. We sat we ended up walking down and sitting in the third row.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy.
And that place was big, right?
Oh, yeah,
that place was
huge.
It was huge. Yeah. Unbelievable. I want to bring up, I was talking about how fortunate I was to work in these great baseball towns, New York and Cincinnati and Detroit. But I still say, Chris, and I say this without ever working there, I still think St. Louis is the best baseball town in America.
I would agree.
I can't get over, like, how rabid the fans are there. Everybody wears.
They get what, $3 million a year? Right?
Every year.
And
everybody
it's not
wears.
A huge city.
No, it's not at all. And everybody wears red. Everybody's into it. And just think about this: two football teams have left that city, and which is unbelievable.
And a basketball team.
And a basketball
decades
team.
Decades ago. Yep. Yes. The Hawks.
So, hats off to St. Louis. I call St. Louis the baseball capital of America. Hey, Bill in New Jersey, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio.
All right, all I got to say is my friend Rob Parker just gave me goosebumps with that beautiful monologue. So kudos to you, Rob.
Thank you, Bill.
My second favorite baseball writer after you, Rob, Thomas Boswell, once wrote a book called Why Time Begins on Opening Day, and that's exactly the way I feel about it. The new year doesn't start on January 1st. It starts on opening day, and man, do I miss it.
Ah, beautifully said, too, Bill. Appreciate that. How about Mark in Sacramento? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
Mark there?
Go ahead, Mark.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's happening?
Rob, that was great. The previous caller took the words out of my mouth. You said that beautifully, brother. That was well done. I got something for you that a little love I think you'll like. On April 4th, 1974, my dad took us over to my granddad's. We all got around the television. Because on April 4th, 1974, we were anticipating Henry Aaron tying Babe Ruth that day. And he wanted us to see a black man do that. It didn't happen that day.
Yeah.
It happened the next day. But 4 days later, on my 17th birthday against the Los Angeles Dodgers, he broke the record. So opening day was probably, that was the most exciting thing that I've ever been in my family. Because we were all together. House full of us watching him, kind of a small television. And anticipating him breaking that record. So that's my story about opening day, and I'll never forget it. So this is good stuff for you,
Mark,
but I feel your pain.
You just gave me goosebumps, seriously, because it was that big of a deal, Chris, and like families, we crowd around a little TV set. We didn't have these 70-inch screens, and most of them were black and white. And people would this is where they would watch.
They
wanted to be around their family.
The
That's
antennas.
A great story.
Yeah, no.
You had the aluminum foil on it.
The channel. Right. No question about it. All right, baseball fans like Rob Parker are clearly devastated without opening day. But can we say the same thing about the players on the field? World Series champion Cecil Fielder has the answer next. But first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, we got three-time MLB All-Star Cecil Fielder coming up right now on the Discover Card Celebrity Hotline. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen report limitations apply. Cecil, welcome to the iCouple.
What's happening, guys?
Cess.
What's happening?
Hey, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you on.
It's always
how you doing, the family?
Rob Parker.
How's the family doing? Everybody okay, man? Y'all good?
Man, no, we hunkered down, man. We ain't going outside. This stuff is crazy, man.
Yeah, you got to be careful out there for sure. How do you feel? Yep. I mean, this is the day, the opening day, you know, would have been today. Rob just read a great essay about how heartbroken he is that baseball is not going on today. Do you feel the same way or is it different now that you're not? You know, not playing.
No, it's a little different since I'm not playing. But again, this is a bad situation we got going on right now. I mean, people are dying, man, and baseball is the number one concern right now. It's trying to get rid of this virus and get people healthy so we can go back to playing baseball. Because if we don't knock this thing down, it's going to be a bad summer.
Right.
Oh,
right,
yes.
About that.
No doubt about it. Cess, and me talking about opening day and how I grew up, how my mom was a stickler for school and everything, but she used to, as a kid, write me a note so that I could leave school early. I was in junior high school to get home to watch the Mets opener as a kid in New York. Just to talk about you I think the story you once told me, too, was about watching Hank Aaron.
No, you know, my mom, let me tell you, Rob, when I was a kid growing up in L.A., man, and, you know, the Dodgers were in the playoffs, and,
yep,
and my team in 1979, I can remember like it was yesterday, we are family, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yes.
When I first seen Willie Stargell, man, I was a kid in the candy store. It was the most unbelievable thing that I ever seen. And, you know, him and Willie McCovey were like my two favorite first basemen, you know. So when I when I had the opportunity to come home from school or play sick to watch, you know, the Pirates play, I mean, that was the greatest days of all time.
Cecil, what was your favorite opening day memory as a player? What was the maybe your best game or whatever memory stands out to you?
Well, the best opening day probably was 86. The Blue Jays, I was in the starting lineup as a, you know, rookie, really. That was probably my best memory as a opening day. Every other opening day was good because I was a starter and I got to play every day. But to really think back on it, that was really my first time to really be in the starting lineup as a rookie.
How about 1997, after you guys won the World Series in 96, what about that? I remember, like, I think you were the only guy hit 300 for any team, I think, in that World Series. But what was that like once you're a champion, you come back, the crowd, Yankee Stadium?
Well, you know, when I came back in 97, my agent, which I should have probably not agreed to, but my agent demanded a trade, so they were booing me when I first got back.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that now.
that wasn't a good time for me. No, that wasn't good. Especially after the World Series I had, and then I came home and they were booing, so that wasn't a good thing.
No. You're right about that.
We are joined by World Series champion Cecil Fielder. Cecil, when they come back, you know, assuming they start playing this summer, June or July or whatever it may be, they're talking about maybe playing into December at neutral sites. So maybe a dome or going to a warm weather series, regardless of
what
team.
That would be played in San Diego, right? Yeah. L.A. or Arizona or something like that. What do you think about that plan?
Well, they're gonna have to do whatever they have to do. They're gonna have to do whatever they have to do to make this be a real season. I mean, whether that's 120 games, whether that's 140 games, I don't think they're gonna be able to get 160 games out of it. But you know, when we had that shortened season in '95, when we were on strike in '94, you know, they cut the season down a little bit and made it work. So they can make it work.
How about playing doubleheaders? Were you a fan of them? I mean, when you played, you know, doubleheaders were a part of baseball, and they still played some day-night doubleheaders where they, you know, empty the stadium to have a 1 o'clock and a 7 o'clock or something like that. Did you like doubleheaders, or normally did you get that second game off?
I didn't like the split doubleheaders.
Right.
I used to like the doubleheaders we played, you know, when they were back-to-back. The split day-night doubleheaders, they were terrible because that's just a whole – different animal, a whole day at the ballpark, like really a whole day. So
yeah, and that's what they're talking about, Rob, right? Split doubleheaders.
Right, because that's usually how they make them. The reason they went to that is to make money, because you get two different crowds. You know, we as kids, Chris and I were both talking about it. We used to sit there at the ballpark and go there for 8 hours and not think anything of it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean as a fan?
Right, but I didn't like the split. I like the doubleheaders where we play back-to-back.
Right.
Yeah, I can imagine it for a player.
I like the back to back. And you're gonna be there 8 hours anyway playing a back to back doubleheader. I mean, you really think about it.
Yeah, I think they just want the that extra loot, but it'll be interesting. One last thing for me. The Red Sox, I guess the investigation is done. What do you think it's going to be or have you heard anything about the severity of it, or not as severe as Houston? And is this going to be another open wound, or will people kind of not think about it as much because of what we're going through here?
I don't know. I think once baseball starts, everybody's going to get what they deserve. I mean, when baseball starts, they're going to let them know what time it is. I mean, I would, because at the end of the day, you know, that's a part of the game that, you know, what they did wasn't right. I mean, I don't care what you say. What happened with the Astros was not right. I don't know as far as what they're going to come down on Boston now, but it all ain't right. And I don't know, you know, you hear, Rob, you hear that a lot of people been doing it, you know, not just them.
Right. Now, how much would that have helped you as a hitter? Obviously, you had a lot of success not knowing what was coming. But for real,
man.
If you
Rob,
knew what was
on,
coming,
man.
I know. You hit one out of Tiger Stadium. Could you hit it any further if you knew what was coming?
No, I wouldn't have hit it no further, but can you imagine knowing what's coming every at bat?
Oh, man. I can't believe I've heard people try to say
that
isn't
right.
A big advantage. It might not be an advantage for me or Rob, but for a professional hitter?
Man.
You know what I mean?
About?
Come on.
No, only thing I want him to do is throw a strike. That's all.
That's it.
Man.
I hear you. All right. Man,
the great
Cecil, man,
always. We appreciate the time, man. Take care of yourself
you
and
it.
Family.
Yes.
You got it. Thank you. All
yep.
right.
Stay well.
Safe.
All right, we got a special edition of Broussard's Fab Five, a baseball edition.
What?
And it's coming your way next. That's right, Rob. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Computer systems in cars are the new normal, but all this advanced technology is expensive to fix if, and let's keep it real, when it breaks. That's why I've got CarShield. It's America's number one auto protection provider. CarShield has affordable protection plans starting at just $99 a month that can save you thousands for a covered repair on everything from computers to GPS. One of the great things, too, is that they let you choose your mechanic. It can be your favorite one or your favorite dealership to do the work, and then CarShield takes care of the rest. They even offer 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed, all for free. With rates as low as $99 a month, you've got nothing to lose. So get covered by CarShield today. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention code OddCouple, or visit CarShield.com and use code OddCouple to save 10%. That's CarShield.com, code OddCouple. A deductible may apply.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker on a TV theme show Thursday. DJ Alex Tyson showing off with the Scooby-Doo remix. And it is time, folks, for a special baseball edition of Broussard's Fab Five.
Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
Ah! We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five.
All right, these are my most memorable opening day performances during my lifetime. Most memorable opening day performances of my lifetime.
Number five.
2017, Madison Bumgarner goes deep twice against the Arizona Diamondbacks to become the first pitcher ever to hit two home runs in one game on opening day. Bumgarner had a perfect game on the mound through five innings, but gave up three runs in the sixth. No problem in the seventh. He steps to the plate and hits his second home run to tie the game before turning the ball over to the bullpen. The Giants lost the game, but it certainly wasn't the fault of Bumgarner, who also struck out 11.
Number four.
2013, Clayton Kershaw hits the only home run of his career. Period. The only home run of his career in a game in which he was terrific on the mound and at the plate. In addition to the dinger, Kershaw threw a complete game shutout to lift the Dodgers over the Giants. It was a precursor to things to come for Kershaw that season. He drove in, check it out, a career-high 10 runs that year at the plate. And more importantly, though, he went on to win the second of his three Cy Young Awards.
Number three.
1988, George Bell becomes the first player ever to hit three home runs in a game on opening day. All three came off a two-time Cy Young winner, Brett Saberhagen. The performance came fresh off the only MVP season of Bell's career.
Wow.
And if you're wondering, three other players have gone on to hit three home runs in an opening day game: Tuffy Rhodes, Dimitri Young, and Matt Davidson.
Number two.
1999, Raul Mondesi goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI in a Dodgers victory over Arizona. So the Dodgers are down 6-3, 2 men out in the bottom of the 9th. All appeared lost. Mondesi steps to the plate, smacks a 3-run homer to tie it and force extra innings. Then 2 innings later, with 2 outs and 1 man on, he goes yard with a walk-off homer to give the Dodgers the 8-6 win.
Number 2.
1974, Mark stole a little of my thunder. Mark from Sacramento, Hank Aaron, receiving hate mail throughout the entire offseason. Homers in his first at-bat to tie Babe Ruth's record of 714 home runs. Aaron wanted to sit out the whole 3-game series in Cincinnati so he could break Ruth's record in Atlanta. But under pressure from Commissioner Bowie Kuhn, Aaron played 2 of the 3 games. He went hitless in his other game in Cincinnati. He wanted to break it in Atlanta. So in the first game, the Braves home opener against the Dodgers, Aaron homers and becomes the new home run king. Those are Broussard's Fab 5 for this week. What do you think, Rob?
Wow, very impressive. That was some good stuff.
Surprised you. I was like, Steve DeSager and Mark from Sacramento stole a little of my thunder.
No,
but
both
I was
of
like,
them.
Hey.
No, those were all good. Is Steve DeSager there? Oh, he's busy.
Yeah, no, you got it.
Yep. No, I was going to
say. I noticed
say,
you had both of those on the list. Yeah.
Chris had a good list there, and the Hank Aaron thing keeps coming up, Chris, and that is interesting that through the tumultuous offseason, and you remember there were death threats against his kids. Oh, it was really bad.
It was like he knew, though. That's how great he was. And remember, obviously, he was later in his career, but he knew, like, the 3-game series in Cincinnati, he's like, I don't want to play because I don't want to break the record.
Right.
That's right.
Doing it from the home
crowd. So he knew, he's
crowds,
like, I'm going to hit 3. I'm going to hit 2 homers in Cincinnati if I want to.
And Chris mentioned Joe Garagiola in the Saturday game of the week. They'd scheduled the Braves at Cincinnati for that opening Saturday. And, of course, it was a full house and no Hank Aaron playing because it didn't happen until Monday Night Baseball at home.
Yep. And
that's another one, yeah. And it was Joe Garagiola, right? Tony Kubek
would have been on the Saturday.
With that call.
On that Saturday, on the Saturday.
Yeah,
but
the Saturday afternoon.
But it wound up being, like you say, Monday. Yeah, those were some great times. And remember, people really cherish watching games back then because every game wasn't on. So it was great to get a game on TV.
Everything was huge back then. I mean, watching the All-Star game was huge back then.
It was huge. Everything.
And they played, too, sometimes too hard, as we remember. With, was it Rose?
Yep. Ray Fosse.
Ray Fosse, the catcher. Yeah. So, all right, it's the Odd Couple. We got 2 hours left on this special baseball version with Rob and Chris. Keep it locked.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. You can also follow Rob and me on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. We'll be joined at the bottom of the hour by our man Martin Weiss for Trolling or Rolling. So it's going to be a fun 60 minutes with you. Of course, as always, keep it locked. All right, Rob. Sticking with baseball, you know, they're obviously talking about all types of different scenarios for when they start. Rob Manfred said today, I saw him on CNN, he said he says, you know, his aspirationally, he's looking at a mid-May start, but he seems to understand that that's probably unrealistic.
Could be, a pipe dream.
Yeah. And same with Mark Cuban talking about that for the NBA. I don't see any way that's happening for either league. Tim Kirkjian from ESPN, he was on TV recently saying he thinks it might be July.
Wow.
And then, of course, there are those that, you know, it could be even later. So we don't know, but, you know, people around baseball are throwing out all types of possibilities for whenever they do start. And the Blue Jays general manager, Ross Atkins, he tossed this out. Now, he wasn't saying it was definitive, but he was just saying it was something that's gone through his mind. Because they are talking about doubleheaders. And he said maybe they have 7-inning doubleheaders so they could get more games in. And, you know, I assume the single game would be 9 innings. To me, with all due respect to Ross Atkins, that's asinine. You can't play half the games 7 innings and half the games 9 innings. That makes no sense. So unless you're playing every single game 7 innings, which I don't think anybody wants to see, you better play 9 innings. If you're going to play doubleheaders, they got to be 9-inning games. And if they really want to experiment with 7-inning games, as a, you know, they obviously have been talking about speeding up the game. And if they wanted to really go to 7-inning games eventually, that's one thing. But to have half your game 7 innings, half of them 9, that's ridiculous, Rob.
100% with you. You cannot bastardize the game, Chris. That's the only word I could use, and that's what you would be doing. If you do that, either you're playing all 7-inning games or all 9-inning games.
Right.
And of course, nobody wants 7-inning games. That's what softball's played, in 7 innings, right?
Yep.
That's not baseball. It's 9 innings. And I don't understand why people just can't, you know, we're experiencing, going through, enduring something that most have never been through, which is the country has been shut down, stopped. Everything we know to be normal is not. So the baseball season in 2020 will not be normal, but it doesn't mean that you change the game in the way we play it. That's what has to stay the same. Yes, we can play 120, Chris. I'll take a 100-game season as long as they keep it intact. And if everybody plays 100 games, the best team in 100 games should be the World Series, you know, after it's all over in the playoffs. I'll accept that championship. No, I have no problem with that.
No question about it. That would be a far more acceptable than a season in which half the games were 7 innings, or you came up with some special rules that totally changed the game just to try to fit in more games. Look, when the NBA in 1999, they came off their lockout, they had 50 games.
And it was
50
fine.
50 out of 82, and it was fine. It still was legitimate because everybody's playing under the same rules. And that's one of the benefits, Rob, of baseball and basketball playing so many regular season games. Heck, if they played an 80-game baseball season, I know nobody wants to see that, but if they played 80 games, it would still be legitimate. That's a lot of games still. It's not what we're used to.
Right, but it's still a lot.
It's 80 games.
Right.
You can figure out who's good and who's bad in 80 games, and it's legitimate.
It would be different if you were playing baseball and you said, okay, the season's going to be 16 games. Then it would be baseball's not that kind of sport. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that wouldn't work.
Exactly.
Because maybe the Seattle Mariners might win the World Series.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for knocking
Seattle. There's no way you could do that.
Right, but I'm with you. If it's 100, if it's 85, if it's 90, I'm cool with that. I really am, considering the times and the circumstances. Same thing with the NBA. If we only want, and Chris, some teams have already played, what, in the 60s, right?
Yeah, the average team has played like almost 65 games.
Yes.
So some have played like 67, some have played.
And it's only 82. I could easily go to the playoffs from here.
Oh, yeah. My only thing with that is just the guys are out of shape. They will be
because
they haven't worked
out. You'd have to do that, or maybe have like a little, exhibition or, you know, like to get back in the shape.
You either need to play games, you know, regular season games, or have, you know, maybe a 2-week training camp, and then you go right into the playoffs. You know what I mean? But yeah, I agree. They've played enough games. We know who the best 8 teams are in each conference. You know, Washington's not getting in. They're not making a run, the Wizards, okay? Sorry, Wizards fans. And you could easily do it the way it is. But, yeah, baseball, and it's going to be interesting because, you know, you saw this with the NBA in 2012, the first year LeBron won his championship. That was a shortened season because of the lockout. It was 66 games, and they were playing triple back-to-backs. They were playing games, you know, we talk about now players don't like playing back-to-backs. They were playing three games in three nights on occasion. But, Rob, the sense of urgency was tremendous. And every game felt like it mattered. Everybody was into the games. And that's what you're going to see in both of these sports, basketball and baseball, if they come back. Baseball's games are going to be so there's going to be such a sense of urgency. People are going to be into it if they play 100 games. They're going to mean more than 162. So I think that, and fans are going to, they're going to be missing the sport. So it's going to be wildly popular, I believe, whenever they do come back.
No, I agree. First of all, there'll be the thirst of not having it, right? Like we just went through today with opening day, no opening day. And if it were to come back in a couple of months, Chris, people would be just be all excited. And then you're right. You know, like you'd be like, well, I missed 40 games. I'm not missing any more this year. I bet you viewers, everything, Chris, would be through the roof because people will be like, you know, I need my fix. I already missed 40 games or 50 games. I want to see as much as I can, and I think it would be different.
And if it's a situation where they're playing, I don't know, you know, who knows what's going to happen. If they're playing in empty stadiums, then everybody's going to be at home watching them. There's no question absolutely. About it. Let me ask you this. Would you, if they, and perhaps this is what Atkins meant, but if you played, say you played seven game, you know, inning doubleheaders, and you made every game seven innings, and you got in 162, would you prefer that with, so every game is seven innings, even when they played single, you know, headers, if you want to call it that. Or would you rather 100 games that are nine innings?
I'd rather 100 games at nine innings. I don't want, because of the way the game is broken up, and I'm talking about stats-wise, records-wise. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yep.
You would totally change that. There's no reason to change that. That would be like the NFL saying, we're going to play arena football league in a smaller field, Chris.
Or three
you know what
quarters.
I mean?
Yeah
or something like right. that. I just don't – I don't think that's acceptable or good enough. Play the regular game. Play the way it was originally meant to play and just be accept less games. I know why they don't want to accept less games, Chris. It's not because of quality of the game.
It's money.
It's because of money. We all know it. Am I right?
No
they
question.
They want the money.
No
this
question.
Is going to be devastating to all these leagues to have to not. What was the money that came out today about the NCAA? What wasn't there a story? I can't remember.
I
the
didn't
exact
see that,
number.
But I know.
Steve
if the
DeSager,
NBA.
See if you can find a story about
yeah,
the
I got
NCAA.
It.
What do you have? It what Chris? Listen to this.
It's because of no March Madness that they're going to have still the distribution in June to their Division I members. But it's going to be $375 million less than what was budgeted, and what they are able to distribute will mostly come from insurance.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Steve, they usually make like $900 million from March
right.
Madness,
I believe. Yeah, minus operating expenses. But, yeah, they have a lot to distribute usually. It's not going to be $600 million this year.
Well, and that's the thing, too, that these leagues might have to recognize is when they do come back and fans are able to go, if the economy – at least for a few years, is, you know, somewhat decimated because of this, people aren't going to be, their first, you know, priority is not going to be going to a game for season tickets. You know, so they may have to drop the prices. That's something else that they may have to consider. Who knows what could happen going forward. So there, I get it. It's a business for them. So it's hard to say money can't be their first priority. Obviously, that's what they're in the business for. But things could change in many ways for these owners of these teams. So we have to see how it plays out. But I agree with you, Rob, though. I would rather 100 games at nine innings because part of the game, and this is true for all sports, part of the game is stamina as well. Like, it's, you know, in basketball, a bad team might be able to hang with a great team for 2.5 or 3 quarters, but they can't do it for 4. And it's the same in every sport. Remember when the golfer that wanted to, he was handicapped and he wanted to ride in a cart about 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I can't remember
his name.
What
was that guy's name? Casey something. I remember that story. Yeah.
And they didn't let him. And people figured, well, he's handicapped. He can't walk the course. So why shouldn't he be able to ride in the cart? But they didn't let him because part of the game is walking the course. Like, if you don't, as a professional, if you don't walk the course, you got a big advantage over the guys that are walking the course. And so part of finding out who's the best team and all of that is it's a 9-inning game. You got the strategy and everything.
That guy's name was Casey Martin. I remember that.
Yeah.
And they said he would have an advantage over the other golfers. Walking. If you ever walk 18 holes, I mean, it's a difference.
It's a whole different, no question. And so it's all a part of the game now. And so with the bullpens and the closers, and especially now with all the specialists, 9 innings is what it is about. It shouldn't go to 7.
Not at all. And I just can't imagine that baseball purists have been through the ringer, Chris, with, you know, wild cards and all these other changes and whatnot. And I do not believe that there's any way that the people who watch over the guardians of baseball will allow that to happen. And I don't think you as a commissioner would ever want to be a part of that, because that would be a part of your legacy.
Right. I mean, he's already had a rough go, you know.
A big rough go.
Rob Manfred. All right, would Major League Baseball be bastardizing the game if they implement 7-inning doubleheaders this season? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We will continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Money!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob Parker, on a TV theme show Thursday. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. One or the other. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy for you to bundle your home and your auto insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. So go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much money you can save. And aren't we all looking to save money, especially right now? GEICO.com, they make it easy. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We want to know what you think about possible 7-inning games when Major League Baseball returns. Your turn to weigh in.
All right, let's kick it off with Patrick in Chico, California. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Patrick?
Hey there. Love the show. Love the dynamic you guys get going.
Thank you.
The biggest deal that I see with a 7-inning game versus a 9-inning, I'll take the short season if you give me 9-inning games, because if you go to a 7-inning game, you're going to lose all of your bullpen action. So, you know, how many starters are going to be able to push to 6, and then you just throw in the closer at 7?
Yep.
So then, you know, then you give all those guys they're just sitting out there doing nothing. So that's my idea on it.
No.
I got to be honest. I wouldn't mind seeing fewer pitchers used. I think a good number of people feel that way.
Right.
But 9 innings.
But just play the game the way it was originally supposed to be played. Let's go to Thomas in Indiana. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great.
What's up, man? We're good.
Good. I don't like the 7-inning doubleheader. I'm an avid baseball fan. It is the only sport that I watch religiously. And I think that the shorter season will engage the general sports public more, and it'll help baseball on a national scale. But the only problem I have with what you two said is every game doesn't matter, and that is absolutely not true. Now, we're going to have a shortened season, but ask the Washington Nationals of last year if every game doesn't matter, because if they lose 2 games in April, they're not in the World Series.
No, I hear you.
That's my point.
No, no, your point is well taken. I get it. Because they needed every single game just to get there to get the wild card spot. So it did matter.
Right. No question about it. And but he hit it on the head, though, with the general fan, the casual fan, or even a little more than the casual fan, they are going to be more engaged into 100 games than 162. And even myself, I'm thinking, do I really need to watch a Tuesday night game in June when they got, 100 more of them? And to be honest, there's a feeling like that with the NBA, too. It's not just the, baseball. And so when you have so many games, like football, that's their advantage. And obviously the sport, the nature of the sport, you can only play so many. But every single game is huge. It's an event. Basketball and baseball, every game's not an event. No matter how important they are, because in both of the sports, generally a playoff spot comes down to a game or two.
Right.
But to the average fan, it just doesn't, it's not an event.
Right, but you also, the one thing is, you could cater to the casual fan, but you don't want to turn off your diehard fans who make up the sport. So you got to be, it's a difficult thing to do. I get it. You want to, try to appease as many people, but you don't want to piss off the people who actually are there all year, who buy season tickets, not the people just tune in once in a blue moon.
Right.
All right, Tony.
This year, they're not going to have a choice.
No, not this year. Right. Tony in D.C., you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
Fellas, what's good? It's always good to talk to y'all. Hope you and your families are staying safe and healthy.
Thank you, brother. Too. You as well.
Yo, man, give me the 100 games with 9 innings simply because it's a lot of traditional baseball, the 7th inning stretch. You love to hear the announcer saying, here they come up in the bottom of the 9th, their last chance. It doesn't sound like the 5th inning stretch or something like that.
The 7th inning stretch would be going home.
Right.
Yeah, the 7th inning, you refresh your drink, go get another hot dog, whatever. And, just leave softball to the Rob Parkers of the world. You remember that highlight a couple years ago, Chris, where Rob hit that single that went through the third baseman's leg, bounced off the shortstop, and Rob almost still got through the line at first.
Right. So, leave that to the Rob Parkers of the world. He doctored his videos.
No, you don't remember the game-winning knock I got. Colin played it on the herd. It was on national television, a two-out knock to win the game.
I don't remember. Is that true?
Yeah, Colin showed it.
I don't remember that. Okay.
I'm going to send it to you during the break. I still got it on my phone.
I know you got it. I know you got it saved.
Adam in Kentucky, you're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Gentlemen, appreciate your time. He kind of hit me in a stalemate right there with that whole deal with Rob earlier, the softball comment. But that being said, I play ball in college, man, and when he did doubleheaders, we had to do 7 innings. But the only reason it should be for the fans.
So that's
now
where he got the idea from. Yeah. So college does 7 inning doubleheaders. And your other games.
Yeah, we
are
do doubleheaders, 7 innings. Exactly. Yeah. Because, we're kids, still maturating.
Right.
And, that being said, maybe we make it, and nothing's going to be what it's going to be. We all know that now. But maybe we make it more for the fans. If they do 7 innings, 2 back to back doubleheaders, imagine taking your son to the game, and we get 2 games. If you got to leave, you got to leave. But you get 7, boom, we get it. Like, that way, because there's got to be some financials in this, right? You would like to think?
No, that's what they're thinking about more than anything. But
well, they want to get all the games on TV. That's the money, Chris. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the whole premise. Is not because you're not going to get a separate gate if you do a doubleheader, just a regular doubleheader. You're not getting a separate gate.
I mean, look.
No, I 100% understand that. Yeah.
If we came up and we were used to the doubleheaders or 7 innings, the regular game, one-off games or 9, we'd be used to it and it'd be fine probably. What was it like for you as a player? Did it seem odd that some of the games were 9 and some were 7?
Did we lose him?
He's gone?
Yeah, I think we lost
him. It just, you'd be used to it. You know what I mean? That's just how it is.
Because that's what they did in college, yeah.
Right.
How about Joseph in Indiana? You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Joseph?
How much are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, man.
You all right?
You're
safe?
Yeah. Before I get to my point here, I still haven't got a chance to talk to Rob G about getting my Odd Couple hat. But
okay. Make sure that we get your address, Joseph. We will get it to you, okay? I promise that. So just hang on after we hang up with you, okay?
Hang on. I apologize for bringing that up, but to my state, I don't really like the idea of double headers with two seven innings, because I'm a person who works every day, and I don't have time. Like, when I work, I don't have time to check baseball stats or work, and plus that will increase baseball prices. I want to be able to, if I go home or something, the game's on, I want to be able to watch it or go to the game and just enjoy when I have free time, not have to keep.
So you don't like doubleheaders in general because you just don't have time to sit through two games?
Is no, because I'm your average working American, and I have to work to make a living. So
yeah,
I think
it's a full day. A doubleheader is a full day, man.
Right? Those days, just that's why they
you
aren't
wonder
many
how people used to do it back in the day.
You
Rob,
know why, Chris? Because we didn't have anything to do. Seriously, there was no phone.
You still
the
had
emails.
Work, but
no. But
you
I'm
know?
Just let you ready for this?
I guess on weekends.
In Cincinnati, you won't believe this, and I think I might have told you this before. When the Big Red Machine, and I don't know, Chris, if this is in the 70s, maybe probably a little before you got there or when you started going to Reds games. You know what the starting time was of a Reds game was? This is no lie, dead serious. What time do you think the game started, a regular season, middle of the week game?
For the Reds, 6?
8:40.
8:40 during the week?
8:40. No lie. That was the starting time. People would go home from work, Chris, eat dinner at home, right? Go have dinner. And then you would go to the ballpark. They started at 8:40. Hal McCoy was a Hall of Fame baseball writer who covered the Reds.
You're
for
there till midnight.
30 some odd. No, the games were much. They weren't on television. Game was over at 10:30. There was 2-hour games.
Because it wasn't a TV.
Games were over at 10:30, yep.
Oh, well, they're not, okay.
Because they weren't always on TV. You know a game on TV is much longer.
Right. Commercial breaks and all that. Okay. As if baseball fans needed another reason to hate Justin Verlander, we will get into that and so much more in Trolling a Roll, and that's next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. It's time for Trolling or Rolling with Martin Weiss.
They see me trolling.
Tom Brady, he's done.
They hating.
Aaron Rodgers did not have a Pro Bowl season.
Trying to kiss me riding dirty.
It's Trolling or Rolling.
That's right, it's Trolling or Rolling. Special quarantine edition. I don't know about you guys, but not leaving the house, not a problem for a guy like me. All I'm missing is basketball, and obviously opening day, which would have been today.
So what are you doing all day?
Well, you're a couch potato anyway, so you're like attached to the couch, aren't you?
Okay. Look, I may be attached to the couch, but from the couch today, Chris, I remotely produced Undisputed. I signed up for Spanish lessons. I got in 2 workouts in the living room, and now I'm talking to y'all. I feel like it was a very productive
from the couch,
Thursday.
2 workouts from the couch.
Hey, lifting some.
I got a big living room area, Chris.
lifting a big bag of Funyuns and a cherry and a red
a cherry
pop
Shasta
and a red,
not,
red pop. That ain't workout. No exercise.
Look, I know you two guys may not have seen this, but there's this thing called Instagram, and every single gym trainer in America right now is working out for free on Instagram Live. I just followed along.
All right.
Very
all
nice.
Right.
All right.
I got it.
All right.
I'm having no problem staying at home either. I got plenty to do, and so I'm good.
I know Rob is losing his mind. He has to be.
You know I like to get around. I definitely like to get around and travel. This is a little different for me. And now my apartment is so clean, it's ridiculous. You can eat off the floor. I can't clean my apartment any more than I have.
I mean, Chris, Rob hasn't posted a dinner or a lunch with seven random guys out for chicken wings in at least 2 weeks.
Right. Right. That's the
hey,
truth.
Hey, in order to get everybody in, sometimes I have to do a mass lunch. Is anything wrong with that?
I ain't paying no for that.
All right. So just in case this is your first time going, this is Trolling and Rolling. If Rob and Chris like the story that I read, you'll hear the roll sound. They see me rolling. And if they don't, you'll hear the troll sound.
Oh, man. Hey.
So, like we were saying, everybody's obviously stuck in the house. And if you're not, you should be, and shame on you. And there's no sports on, so obviously we're all struggling to find entertainment. Justin Verlander posted on Instagram that he was forcing his wife, Kate Upton, and their child to watch his 2007 no-hitter, which MLB decided to stream earlier today. He said, quote, "You'll sit here and watch it and like it," with a smiling emoji. So he was obviously joking. But Chris, are you trolling or rolling, making the family watch your old highlights?
I'm rolling with it. They see me rolling. That's a great time of his life. I mean, obviously he watches what she does, so they should all watch his glorious performance he had. And I'm totally with it. I'm sure the kids, I don't know, was he have boys, girls, whatever, but whatever they are, I'm sure they'll like it.
They only have
too.
One kid, don't they?
One.
He just had one, and whatever it is, it's brand new. It's a newborn.
Yeah, it's okay, it's a baby, newborn, so it's right. Just her. Yeah. Yes, definitely. They're sitting there all day. I'm with it. I'm cool with it.
I'm rolling with it, too. They see me rolling. I mean, it's just in fun, and it's one of those things where, you know, sit back, not much going on. He's normally would be ready for the season. They'd be at the ballpark, all that. Hey, let's sit back. It's, again, some of those things, you know, you would think that when you're playing, you're not sitting around watching your old games or watching stuff that you did. So now you could actually sit back and admire what you were able to accomplish or whatnot, and I think that's cool.
I just want to know if Kate Upton is forcing Justin Verlander to watch old, like, outtakes from, like, those, you know, bikini shots in Antarctica that she took from years ago.
I don't think you have to be forced to watch
There's no sex.
Exactly.
So, the Rolling Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. So, obviously, it would be opening day. The baseball season's on hiatus, and fans are dying to watch the national pastime. Fox Sports Detroit made an interesting decision. They've decided to run some of the games from the 2019 season this weekend to celebrate what should have been. The only thing is, the 2019 Tigers lost over 100 games. People didn't watch it when they were actually playing. Rob, are you trolling or rolling, replaying games from one of the worst seasons in Tigers history?
Trolling it.
Oh, man. Hey.
This makes no sense. How about 2013 when they should have won the World Series and had that great team and they lost in the ALCS to the Red Sox? Go back to that season when Miguel Cabrera was the best hitter in baseball and Prince Fielder was like unbelievable with the Tigers. That was a fun team to watch. Why in the world would Fox Sports Detroit put those games on? I just do not get that. That's a bad, dumb decision. That's the only thing I could call it.
I'm trolling it as well.
Oh, man. Hey, Rob said it.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Whether it was 2013, heck, the year before they lost in the World Series, that was a great year as well. You go back to 2006 when they got to the World Series. I mean, they're not the Lions, all right? No. You got a few series you can pick from. Heck, even go back. I don't know how far they can go back, but 84, of course, they won it. You know, show some history. I mean, let the young kids, the millennials, learn. That's ridiculous. No way anybody wants to watch those games from last year. Terrible.
They absolutely should have done going back to 1984. This is a lost opportunity, in my opinion. No, I agree.
You know what? You could have actually shown the millennials, Chris and Martin, like people who didn't see the Tigers ever win. Do you know what I mean? And what kind of history?
Right.
This is one of the charter members of the American League. They've been around forever. So
this is actually a time when young people can catch up. I mean, you know, we always joke about millennials not really knowing the history of the games and stuff.
Right.
This is a time you can go back and watch Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Pete Rose, you know, whoever, you know, the legends are in various sports.
Who you've heard about, but you've never seen. I agree.
Yes.
Trolling Rolling, Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Since it's baseball season, it's time for the age-old baseball debate. Pitchers are terrible at hitting, and owners are becoming more and more hesitant to see these expensive arms risking injury, doing anything but throwing fire. The National League has still yet to adopt the designated hitter rule, allowing for a position player to bat instead of the guy on the mound. While the National League adopting the rule is highly likely, a lot of fans are against the idea. Chris, are you trolling or rolling both leagues having the DH?
I'm rolling with it. They see me rolling. More offense, baby. What is the mantra? Chicks dig the long ball. Everybody digs the long ball, especially now. They dig it more than ever now. They don't even care if you strike out as long as you hit a homer every once in a while. So, yeah, I'm totally with it. Look, I don't want to see a pitcher go up there when I know he's only going to get a hit once out of every 10 at-bats, if that. So, yeah, I'm all for the DH in both leagues without question.
I'm trolling it.
Stop
it. Oh, man. Hey.
I love the way that the game is. I love that there's two leagues. They play different brand of baseball. I'm not that big of a fan of the DH. I get the offensive thing, Chris, but I've also seen some great 2-1 games and 3-2 games where it's a great play. It doesn't and all the DHs, it's not always coming down to that. I get the pitching thing. The thing that you might have to do is, in a tight game, it might force you to take that pitcher out the game, which could help the other team because they finally get him out, go to the bullpen, and then the team can get to that pitcher. So there's more strategy in National League games than there is in American League games.
I 100% agree with Rob. I'm watching American League Baseball and watching National League Baseball, two different games, and National League Baseball is just more fun to watch. There's more stuff happening. More
and
stuff,
that's the guy who spent all his years in Detroit with the DH.
All right, that's it. Trolling or rolling, our man Martin Weiss. Good job, brother. Get off that couch every now and then.
That's right.
Hey, man, I'm going to show you. I'm gonna record my workout just so y'all can see it in the house. There you go.
All right, I want to see it. I definitely.
All right, that's our man Martin Weiss. We got more of the Odd Couple coming up. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a TV theme show Thursday. One of my favorite sitcoms, King of Queens. Do it right to save 5% every day by shopping at Lowe's. In store or online, save 5% on eligible purchases just by using your Lowe's Advantage card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Subject to credit approval. Can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See your store for details. That is in the United States of America only. All right, Rob. We are sticking with baseball here on this special baseball edition of The Odd Couple. And you and I both are in agreement on the notion that, and we asked Cecil Fielder about this earlier. He disagreed with us. He thinks that whenever they resume baseball, the Houston Astros will still be, you know, booed and mistreated and just, you know, public enemy number one in every stadium they go to. We saw they were thrown at. Players were thrown at. They were booed.
Players might still do their business. I don't doubt that. I just wonder.
And you wonder, too, even with players, if you only play 100 games, every game means a little bit more.
That's
not
a good
that you're
point.
Giving up a game, but you know what I mean? Yeah.
No, so you could be suspended.
You put somebody on base. Yeah, you get suspended. But also, you just put guys on base because you hit them on purpose.
And then somebody hits a two-run home run.
Right. Right. So
no, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think that fans are going to be so excited that baseball's back. I mean, even now, like now when we 2 months ago, no matter what else was going on in baseball, when we really talked about it, it was all about the scandal. No matter what other things, Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers, it was all about the scandal.
It touched so many people, Chris, and even not just baseball fans, but people who are into sports and fair play. Like it struck a nerve. Am I right? It struck
a nerve with people. No question. And a big part of it is, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people, is that we all have this innate desire for justice to be served, right? You do something wrong, you pay for it. Now, and we've been a forgiving society too. So if you pay your dues, you know, you come back, people forgive you and give you a second chance. But in this case, people feel like they didn't pay their dues. There was no justice. Okay, you fined them $5 million. You fired the coach and all that stuff, or the GM, right?
The GM and the manager,
But you didn't. There was no justice served on the actual guys that were cheating, which was the players. And I think that's why people are so upset. But again, I think come June, July, whenever we get started again, people are just going to be so excited about having the sport back that I'm not saying they won't get booed here and there. And they, you know, players may do something here or there to them, throw at them, whatever. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what it would have been under normal circumstances.
I agree. And also the climate of the country, Chris. We don't know what's going to emerge, right? We already know financially people are going to be in ruin.
We lose Rob. He's having technical difficulties. I don't know what he's doing. But, yeah, I you know, look, I think so. Nobody's a winner in this thing, obviously. But just in this little small world of baseball, it's going to benefit the Astros, I think, and Rob thinks, more than any other team just because it takes the focus off of the Astros, off of their cheating. And speaking of that, the Rob Manfred announced, I believe it was yesterday, that they are done with their investigation of the Red Sox. And they now, whether they haven't released anything yet. He said that he's been so tied up with the coronavirus and the implications of that, that he hasn't had time to get to it yet. But we should find out in short order just what happened with the Red Sox, whether there was cheating, you know, and whatever, what the punishment would be. I really get the strong impression that the punishment is not going to be anything close to what the Astros.
Chris, don't bury the lead. Their attorney said in court earlier this week that they are not admitting any kind of sign stealing in 2018.
Yeah, nobody believes that. He's a lawyer. You know, I mean, seriously, that's his job. They cheated. We'll see what the punishment is. Odd Couple.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com. Or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. We are joined by two-time World Series champion, three-time All-Star, David Justice. David, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Dave.
What's up? What's up? What's up, Rob? What's up, Chris?
How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Rob. What's up, bro? Hey, Rob, every time I think about you, man, I think of how you try to turn me on to Frank Sinatra.
That's right.
hey,
that's
Chris.
The only brother I know.
It could have been worse, David. It could have been worse listening to some of his musical taste on this show.
But you know what? I did. I bought Dave the box set of Sinatra trying to get him. I said, man, I want you to just listen to the music. I was so into Sinatra, and I was trying to get Dave to just widen his listening a little bit, and Sinatra
and
with the man.
And it didn't work.
Well, David, where obviously today would be opening day. What's your favorite opening day memory as a player?
And we should say this, Chris. He grew up in Cincinnati, David, and was born in Cincinnati. And you know, it was a holiday in Cincinnati opening day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, my favorite, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yep. My favorite opening day memory is always, probably, seriously, coming from being in like the fifth grade, sixth grade, they used to bring the TV into the classroom so we could watch the Cincinnati Reds.
Wow.
That was like the best.
That's how big of a day it was in Cincinnati. I mentioned that.
That would be
that people either got the day off, Chris, or they brought TVs into work or school. That's how big opening day was.
Oh, yeah, man. Cincinnati Reds, man. I was the biggest Cincinnati Reds fan, my whole life. Even in the big leagues, when I first got into probably my first 5 or 6 years in the big leagues, I used to root for the Reds except when we played them.
Right. I get it.
That's how much I love the Reds.
Wow.
And Dave, when you look at where baseball is and the stuff that's floating around, you know, they're trying to come up with ideas. Obviously, the coronavirus, it's day-to-day. We don't know how long this thing is going to go. There was some stuff thrown out, maybe that baseball would play some doubleheaders where the first game would be 9 innings and the second game would be 7 innings.
Or both would be seven.
Or both would be seven, I'm sorry, right. What about ideas like this to try to get all the games in, depending on the delay? Are you with that?
Well, I'll tell you this, Rob. There's going to be a lot of tired guys if they do that. You know, guys, that'll be something totally different. Could you imagine managing where you'd have to do a doubleheader consistently? I mean, managers would lose their mind and try and decide how to use the bullpen for both games.
Right.
It would be harder, I think, from a pitcher's perspective than probably a player's. But I think they're going to try to do – I mean, these are crazy times right now. They're just trying to figure out something to get as many games played once they start the season, which as of right now, I don't think they even know when they're going to start, right?
No, I don't. I don't think anybody knows. The NBA doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Even the NFL, there's some that think the NFL could be a delayed start. So,
well, if they play baseball, they should just start it regular. Whenever they decide to come back, just have an abbreviated season, however many games that may be. If it's 90, if it's 100, just whatever it is. And then whoever is the best after those games, just roll with it.
What do you think about the notion of playing, say you play playoff games in December? Obviously, you can't play everywhere in December. So they take the playoffs to warm weather cities. So basically neutral sites. What do you think about that? You obviously had a lot of playoff experience playing home and away. What do you think about that in a neutral site?
Well, I'll tell you one team that would not like that is the Yankees. Because the one thing about the Yankees I thought was that made them special was the fact that they had the ultimate 10th man. That Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, that's a different crowd, man. That's a rabid bunch of people, and it matters. I mean, when I played against the Yankees in the playoffs, it was a very tough environment to play in. And I'm sure every opposing team would love that, but I don't like the neutral site. I don't like that. And then where would it be? Who would get the dibs on that? Right?
Because you're talking about money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right? Hey. I mean, that there's no way they're going to do that. I think you should start the season whenever you start it and have an abbreviated season. A shortened season and just play a regular. There's no way in December you're going to play in New York. That's for sure. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. No doubt about it.
Now, Dave, you played in Atlanta, Cleveland, of course, the Yankees with the Yankees in New York, and the Oakland A's. And when you talk about baseball towns, I say St. Louis is the baseball capital of America. I can't get over the support. Obviously, Cincinnati's a great baseball town. Obviously, New York and Boston. And also Detroit and I'm missing another city, but there's a lot of them. What was the best place that you played, and what's one of the greatest, even if you didn't play there, greatest baseball town in America?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if you can play in a greater all-around baseball atmosphere from April through October than New York. With the Yankees, because I lived in a Yankee neighborhood, and it just felt like baseball in the Northeast was just different, man. Like, people based their whole day around those Yankee games. And my morning routine, going to get a Starbucks and going to my local deli, I mean, people were always talking Yankees and the game. I think on the road, I got to agree with you, man. St. Louis is a great town. They got great fan support. It's a tremendous fan base. They were the easiest fans in terms of heckling the opposing team. Like, I can't even remember being heckled in St. Louis, to be honest with you. But they showed a great appreciation for their home team. And I can definitely see how guys have a great time playing for the St. Louis Cardinals.
David, what's your take?
I want to say, Chris, let me just squeeze in real quick. I'm sorry. When you were talking about the New York thing, Chris and I have talked about this before. You're right about the baseball in New York from this standpoint. Even on sports talk radio, where most cities are talking about the NFL or NBA, you could turn on the radio in New York and hear them break down a Yankee game and talk about the entire game for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. You know
what? Yeah, man. It's a big deal. It's a big deal in New York. And I really got a chance to see it when I became a Yankee. I mean, the Yankee fans are some of the most knowledgeable fans that exist. I remember when Alfonso Soriano, I think he hadn't walked in about 70-something at-bats, or something like that. And all of a sudden, he got his first walk and got a standing ovation. I was lost in the dugout. Like, what's going on? Somebody said that was his first walk. How the heck does the whole stadium know
right.
that's his first walk? I'm telling you. And I tell another thing I tell my people. That in New York, let's say if I'm hitting, and let's say I'm facing a right-hander with first base open, and there's a right-hander behind me. And the Yankee fans totally know what's going on. They totally know that they're going to put me on first base. That's how they're playing. They already see in the game. Whereas in other stadiums, they're like, hey, swing the bat, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
The Yankee fans are going, oh, yeah, we know what's going on. Hey, don't swing it on Dady trying to walk you. take the base. it's just, I was amazed by the knowledge of the Yankee fans. But, boy, when it comes to cheering on your team and really, really coming down on the opposing team, I don't think anybody does it better than the Yankee fans.
Mm. That's David Justice, 2-time World Series champion. And, man, we enjoyed your time. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks a lot.
Oh, man, hey, anytime, fellas. Hey, Rob, get with me, man. Safe. You know you're my boy forever.
No doubt about it. And we will, once everything clears up, man, we'll get together, man. Always.
All right, brother.
Okay, all right, brother.
Man. All right, stay well.
Peace. More Odd Couple coming your way, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Very appropriate song to end the show on. Cheers, yes. Right? Sam Malone was the...
Oh, your worries.
Boston Red Sox pitcher.
Who's the former Red Sox pitcher.
Right, in the show. And Coach, the bartender, was one of their coaches, right? So yep. Very appropriate. I don't know if Alex knew that. I think he just got lucky.
I had no idea, Chris.
All right. He totally got lucky
yes,
on that one. But
that's those were one. The characters.
That's right. Well, look, stop waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal. Instead, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science, y'all. It's computercareer.edu. All right, Rob, you gave a great ode to opening day. Had a brother a little teary-eyed, I got to admit. Really, really touched a lot of our listeners.
It was from the heart, man.
Yes. I could tell it was from the heart. A lot of your listeners, our listeners, were touched. And I was touched. And I do wish they were playing baseball today. But I got to be honest. For me, opening night of the NBA season and the first Sunday, the first weekend of NFL football, for me, are bigger than opening day in baseball. I'm sure your favorite opening day is MLB, I'd imagine.
Yeah, only because of the tradition and the stuff that I talked about. I don't think the other sports, I get it, the first game of the year, you're excited. But there was a real tradition about it. And I talked about it in that old, Chris, about, and you know this growing up because you're, you know, not that much younger than I am. But the whole Cincinnati thing, you remember those Mondays, the first Monday, that I should say that Monday when it used to be March Madness and the championship was that night.
Right.
And the Cincinnati right. Reds would play the first game of baseball. You remember that used to be yep. a big night because it would be a day game in the afternoon. the first baseball game, whoever was playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati, that would be the game. And then that night, and as a kid, I just grew up with that. And it did. It was always one of my favorite days. And that's why I mentioned it, because it was a doubleheader, two different sports, and I used to love it. So baseball, to me, it was a traditional thing in how I viewed sports.
Well, I agree with you on that. Like, the tradition, you know,
NFL
opening day isn't, it's not viewed as opening day. You know what I mean? It's great because it's the first start game of the year, season. Right. Yeah, it's just the first game. And every single game, because there's only 16, now 17, means a ton. Basketball, every team doesn't play on opening night. You know, you got a few big games that they play. So there's no question that as far as tradition and history, opening day in baseball is number one in that regard. But I'm just saying.
And I'll say this, too. I want to make the point, because I've said this to you before. Nobody, when I was in high school, Chris, was a bigger football fan than me. Nobody. I refused to work at the Queen Center Mall at Stride Right on Sundays during football season. I'm telling you, my boss was Shelly Zimmerman. And I would go up to Shelly every, you know, start of football season and say, I'm gone. I will not work on Sundays. I'll work any day you want me to work. I'll work as many hours as you want. But Sundays during football season, Chris, I wouldn't work. That's how big. And you know, working at a mall and working in the retail business, they want you to work on the weekends.
Right. Yeah, it's baseball. It really probably depends on your what your favorite sport is. You know, like for me, the best regular season day for the NBA is Christmas Day. Because you always get the great teams playing. That's really like the opening day, even though it's not technically opening day. That's the NBA's opening day. You know what I mean? Where that has the tradition, just like opening day in baseball has that tradition. So it's unfortunate that was lost. And
I want to say one thing about our show real quick. It is the most different radio show on national radio, and I'm proud of everything that we did today to honor opening day and do an all-baseball show. I'm proud of every single one of you guys who are involved in this. I'm serious.
There
you couldn't get this anywhere else on the radio, Chris.
All national show in America, right? All right, couple, Chris and Rob,